Hi, everyone. I'm not Derek Graves, but I'm up here. I was just notified 12 hours ago I was not supposed to be here, but I'm here now. I should be sitting up there somewhere with my hall, Willits First North. Where are you guys at? Yeah, they're up there. Unfortunately, Derek cannot be here today. He's in bed with a fever and modeling for you how we want you to take care of yourself if you were in the similar situation. Derek and I met our freshman year at club soccer practice and have been good friends since. Last year, we were actually part of the same dorm team as RAs, which only brought us closer together. I will be reading a speech for him today, and you will soon find out that it revolves around friendship. Ignore me if I start speaking in the third person. I'm just reading what I was given. All right, here we go. Before I begin, I'd like to make a small remark. As you may soon learn, I'm quite involved in improv comedy here at Swarthmore. Naturally, when I got the invitation to speak at First Gathering, I was worried. One of the things I quite enjoy doing on this campus is making people laugh. But most of my humor is improvised, so how would I make a written speech funny? The more I tried, the more I realized writing humor is not my strong suit. I just couldn't write something funny. So, much to the dismay of President Smith, Dean Henry, and others, I have prepared absolutely nothing to say at all today. I'm hoping to demonstrate how I understand that I will make mistakes, but my mistakes don't make me a failure. I am, of course, just kidding. I've prepared a speech for you today, but since it is prepared, please forgive me if it is not too humorous. That said, let me begin. As Dean Henry said, my name is Derek Graves, if I were Derek Graves, and I'm a member of the senior class. I am a member of the senior class too, so that works. On behalf of the student body here at Swarthmore, and in particular the seniors, welcome. Welcome to Swarthmore. Today, you officially become part of an elite group of intelligent, driven, lively, caring, humble, quirky, clumsy, overtired, socially awkward, know-it-all nerds who don't really know how to throw a party and who didn't really get into an Ivy. I'm just reading what he gave me. We call ourselves Swatties. I'm proud to be one, and I hope you will be too. Had you gone to one of those Ivies, you would soon join the ranks of notable alumni such as Barack and Michelle Obama, Alan Turing, Sonia Sotomayor, and Dr. Seuss, all of whose accomplishments and accolades I need not mention. Instead, you've chosen to come to a place that has graduated otherwise unknown figures like Tiny Maxwell, Peter Schickel, and Leon Henderson. If you don't know those names, don't worry, you probably shouldn't. Perhaps one of Swarthmore's biggest alumni, Tiny Maxwell, a 6'4", 200-pound football player, is remembered for his position in college football's Hall of Fame as a referee. Peter Schickel, also known as PDQ Bach, is best known for composing parodic classical musical masterpieces such as Fanfare for Fred, March of the Cute Little Wood Sprites, and Safe Sextet. He's actually gotten 4 Grammys, so there goes that. Leon Henderson was the founding head of our government's Office of Price Administration, which was founded in 1941 and promptly shut down in 1947. Henderson's tenure didn't even last that long. He was fired around, a year afterwards. Hopefully by now, you feel really confident about the school that you chose to come to. All jokes aside, I do have something serious to share with you today. About 5.5 years ago, I sat much in the same position that you sit now. It wasn't exactly the same position because, for one, 5.5 years ago would be about February. To my knowledge, no one sits out here in the amphitheater, or LPAC in this case, in the freezing cold listening to speeches in February. Instead of here, I was 10,000 miles southeast in Swaziland, a small southern African country that's home to an international school called Waterford Kamlaba, United World College of Southern Africa. Yeah, talk to Derek. During my senior year of high school, I was lucky enough to obtain a scholarship to Waterford. So in January of 2012, I got on a flight and left everything I knew in search of an education. My amphitheater at the time was a damp auditorium that traded proper seating for thinly carpeted blocks. Not entirely unlike the stones you would have been sitting on if it wasn't raining. It wasn't exactly the same place as you're sitting now, but the similarities are clear. I had just said goodbye to my parents and my brother for the first time. I was many miles away from home in a place that I felt utterly foreign. I was being talked at by a bunch of people whose job it was to introduce to me the school that I had chosen. I felt very afraid and very, very alone. I was sitting next to a bunch of people that I did not know, but that I desperately wanted to be friends with. I also had high expectations for the school, specifically how it and the people around me would completely change my worldview in a short span of 2 years. Now, looking back at my time at Waterford, the school and its people certainly did change my worldview, but not in the ways I had expected or hoped. I had expected my eyes to be open to new understandings of tolerance and acceptance. I expected to learn a great deal about cultures from much different than mine. I expected to emerge from my 2 years there much more prepared to operate successfully in an increasingly interconnected world. I did find some of these things, but what I really found were friends. And not friends like I had in middle school or high school. Real, lifelong friends. Friends from whom I would drop everything if they called in need of help. Friends who will read a speech for you to the entire entering first year class with less than 12 hours notice. To provide a bit of context, my family moved multiple times while I was in middle school and high school. Whenever I got to a new place, I found it hard to fit in because everyone there had been friends with each other since they were little. If I'm honest, being a nerdy, math-loving kid with not quite enough social savvy probably didn't help many. But for whatever reason, I never had really close friends. I had a few people I hung out with regularly, but no one who I felt close enough that I could trust our friendship would always be there to support me. That's just a reflection on those, or that's less of a reflection on those friends as it is a reflection on me. Looking back now, I just hadn't found the right set of people. For the first few months at Waterford, things proceeded like they had at any other school. I had some people that I liked and hung out with, but I didn't feel extremely connected to anyone. Then after a vacation I took over a long weekend, things changed. The story of the vacation is an incredibly long one, but the short of it is that I hoped and planned to spend 4 days relaxing at a cabana at a beach in Mozambique with 3 acquaintances from school, and instead had the most intense, nerve-wracking, un-vacation-like vacation I've ever taken. The place we were staying lost our reservation. I left my suitcase in a cab, never got it back. We were held up at rifle point, and my friend had a baby handed to her by a man who just left the child with her for the duration of a 5-hour bus ride. He took the baby back when he got off, but we weren't quite sure he was going to. When I got back to Waterford, I met up with my friends Alex, Ollie, and Wabantu. They wanted to hear what I had done over the break. Soul service there wasn't quite what it is here, so I wasn't just Snapchatting my experience the whole vacation. But we sat down for dinner, and I described to them every detail of the unvacation. For 2 hours, they sat there, laughing, reacting, and listening intently. When I finished, all 4 of us had giant grins on our faces. They enjoyed hearing the story just as much as enjoyed sharing it. It might sound weird, but in those 2 hours of storytelling, our friendships were cemented. We were already friends, but that evening brought us so much, much closer than we were before. Over the next year and a half or so, Ollie, Alex, Wabantu, and I continued to laugh, cry, and share stories and experiences with each other. We had the best 18 months any of us had ever had. Now, we don't see each other as much as we'd like because we live in different corners of the world. But when we do see each other, we pick up right where we left off, and it's a blast. These friends are the people who changed my worldview the most while I was at Waterford. I wanted life-changing experiences, and I got them. Instead of newfound cultural knowledge and understandings of tolerance and acceptance, I discovered that loving friendships are some of the best things we have in this world. I had never really fully opened up myself emotionally to any of my friends until I got to Waterford. But once I did, I found people that will be with me for life. At this point, a reasonable question to ask would be, Derek, why'd you write a speech that I had to read about Swaziland? We don't go to Swaziland, we go to Swarthmore. That's what you're supposed to be telling us about. And you guys have a valid point. The good thing about my Waterford story is that the type of friendships I found there, I have also found here. In fact, sitting amongst you now is a lifelong friend of mine who I deeply love. We've dropped everything at a single text message to come support each other through difficult moments. We've also shared moments of great joy and uncontrollable laughter. Ironically enough, I'm wearing his tie now, I borrowed it from him last semester, and like a true friend, I totally forgot to give it back to him. We've only got 1 year left living in the same place, but I know it's going to be a good one. Luis, I love you, bud. Thanks for the tie. I still don't have the tie back, by the way. If you guys see him around, send him my way. This week, and indeed the next month or so, will be an absolute whirlwind for all of you. Everything is new. You'll constantly be meeting new people and trying to find your place. Amongst all this excitement and commotion, I encourage you to be patient. It's not all going to happen at once. You'll find your people, but it may not happen this month or even this semester. And the people you find yourself wanting to befriend may not only be students. Staff members like Pat from Sharples and Carolyn in admissions have been great friends to me over the last 3 years. I encourage you to find those people too. That's really all I have to share with you today, but be patient, be kind, listen intently, and hopefully you will find yourself loving the people on this campus just as much as I do. Thank you.